I'm Heidi Howard. This will be just a titch redundant from House. It's building on what he and Lisa did initially for the Caltrans project, or U.S. Forest Service project. I'll be talking on how we're utilizing our tracking capabilities to better understand invasive species spread on military lands. So the co-authors are Lisa Rue from Montana State, Paul Ayers from University of Tennessee, Hal and Alan, and myself from Searle. Basically, the little bit of background. I always get asked why we as the military are interested in invasive species control. And a lot of times it's from soldiers, actually. But we're required under federal and Army regulations to abide by Executive Order 13112. The other aspect of it is that by better managing our invasive species, we're able to provide a more realistic training experience and also a safer training experience for the soldiers. You have reduced erosion, potential irritants, etc. So as you may know, that there are quite a wide range of alien invasive species or non-native invasive species across the U.S. and they're very destructive to our ecosystems. Additionally, they cost an extensive amount of money, even on military installations. As you can imagine, in the Southeast, kudzu is probably one of our biggest invasive species, and it's a huge safety and also a training issue for our soldiers. So, like I had said, Executive Order 13112, it actually requires that we prevent the introduction of invasive species and that we detect and respond rapidly to the introduction or the expansion of invasive species on our military and federal lands. And then we are also required to monitor these populations and react accordingly. So like I had said, basically our military lands, we do a lot of disturbance with tracked vehicles and wheeled vehicles. We additionally have land management practices such as control burns, etc. These are all vectors for the introduction and spread of non-native invasive species. Additionally, like Hal had said, we do not have a protocol at every installation for the importation of motor pool vehicles from installation to installation. So it's pretty common for, we have a finite number of vehicles for the military. Many of these vehicles are already deployed overseas to Afghanistan or Iraq. So we have a finite motor pool here in the US. They share that motor pool. So they may train in an entire, 100, 200, 300 vehicles for a training event from, say, California or Fort Irwin up to Montana or over to Texas, et cetera. They may wash them, they may not. It's pretty common to see these very dirty vehicles on a train going along. So we want to quantify these risks associated with these vehicles. So our procedure was to establish tracking for Lisa's project, which is a CERTA project, and we provided the tracking portion of it. And we mounted our tracking units, which are called VTSs, on a subset of the motor pool vehicles that were utilized within Limestone Hills and Orchard Training Area for their annual training event. They then utilized portable vehicle wash rack facilities that Hal had indicated and developed a collection methodology, if you will, over the training time period to determine how much seed, quantify the seed load per vehicle and per vehicle mile traveled that these vehicles were picking up. And Lisa did that at her greenhouses over at MSU. And they identified the species, and then she is doing risk maps associated with the different invasive species that have been identified for the installations that I'm going to talk about. So there were three annual training events. The first was in 2007, June, at Limestone Hills, Montana. And again this summer in 2009, both of those took place, like I said, in June. Again, it was in June 2008 at Orchard Training Area in Idaho. Same group of soldiers doing their annual training, so we had a very consistent pool to choose from. We tracked off-road distance, when they were on-road versus off-road, and how fast they were going, and what they were actually doing, whether they were going in straight lines or turning. Additionally, we identified areas where there was significant off-road utilization, if you will, and provided that information for Lisa's field crew to go back out and do seed bank samples of the soil, along with species identification of the existing population. And then, let me go back here. That top one is what Hal just showed, but the first one is this is from Orchard Training Area. That's a M1A1, Hal? Yeah, I think. Yeah, M1A, I don't know my vehicles. That's that's the fuel tank, Hemet, and then the typical Humvee armored. I will talk about Limestone Hills 2007 data. As you can imagine, the greenhouse experimentation portion of this is taking well into, 24 months beyond for germination results, so that we can get an idea of the viability of the seed and the longevity of the seed. Limestone 2007, there were three vehicle types. First one was a Humvee. Second one was a 2.5-ton cargo truck, and the third one was the Ranger. We tagged the Ranger because we kind of figured, considering they were doing range qualification for small arms, that they wouldn't be going off-road too terribly much. But the Ranger itself was their fire control vehicle for range control, so we figured they'd probably go off-road a bit. This is us putting together the vehicle tracking units at the bottom of it. To give you an idea of the kilometers per day traveled, there were five vehicles tracked for this event, armored Humvee, and then the 2.5-ton truck and the Rangers. It's kind of all over the place because they didn't necessarily use those vehicles consecutively over that 12-day period. And that's because some of the vehicles were down, et cetera. So this is just a portion of the data. And as you can see, the Humvees traveled quite a bit of distance, which is to be anticipated. The 2.5-ton trucks were primarily used just to haul the soldiers out to the firing ranges and haul them back in to the bivouac area for them to take their showers and eat. And then the Ranger, surprisingly enough, traveled almost as much as the Humvees. This is the actual distribution of the vehicle traffic that we saw. Not going into this very much, but this is the vehicle wash system that was used. As you can see, these are fairly high power jet systems, and they were washed on rotation at Limestone Hills. They were washed every 2 to 5 days. With the Army, it's kind of difficult to get them to comply with what our wishes are. We're secondary to their mission, so you kind of snag them when you can, so it's not a nice crop science research plot, if you will. And then OTA, the vehicles were actually washed with their centralized vehicle wash facility first, because they are the only installation that actually has a vehicle wash protocol, if you will, for incoming vehicles. And so it was washed there first, and then it went over to the portable wash rack, and we then washed it weekly and at the end of the annual training exercise. This just showing the collection of the debris. As you can see, after each vehicle type, these were clustered by type, not by individual vehicle, but after each type was washed, they then collected all the debris and then it was filtered through a 100 micron filter sieve, and then packaged up and sent to Montana for greenhouse. I won't go over the efficacy. This is a bit of the greenhouse, give you an idea of it. We're not quantifying the seed itself. We're not doing anything with the actual number of seeds per pound of debris, etc. It's kind of a rougher catch, if you will. And what they're doing is they have their trays with growing media, and then they take a subset of the sample, sprinkle that over the trays, and then they go through a 36-day rotation for germination counts, and then they can grow that out for up to 36 weeks, I believe, for species identification. And this has been done over a 12-month period. So they're all stored in cold storage, but we do know that our viability is going down over time, which is to be expected. And like I said, they're doing weekly counts over 3 months for germination, and the species are identified and then classified. For limestone, that's the one we have basically the largest data set so far because of the time issue. So far, they've collected over 65 different species. One of these species, and I can't remember exactly which one, it's the first time it's ever been documented in Montana. So we're picking up species that they're coming from obviously somewhere else, most likely. So considering how little distance they actually were traveling off-road, for them to have that high of population variability is unbelievable to us. Then we're also looking at the data that we collected to show off-road vehicle movement. Lisa is going over there several times to do species abundance and seed bank loads, and also which species are present. This is just a quick look at some of the data. And this is actually pointing out, I keep looking at the monitor for it. Where is it? Oh, anyway. Okay. We're looking at propagules versus, or germinated plants versus vehicle type. Armored Humvee has a higher number of germinated plants than the Ranger did. And then looking at the plants per kilometer, the Armored and the Ranger were actually not significantly different from one another, but the 2.5-ton cargo did have more plants per kilometer traveled. So part of that could just be the size of the vehicle itself. And then total species. Armored Humvee had there's no significant difference between this. Armored Humvee and the 2.5-ton and the Ranger all had right around the same number of total species. And then the species per kilometer was, again, significantly higher in the 2.5 cargo ton. So we're seeing the same trends as the total number of successful germinations, and we're utilizing the tracking data so that we can develop probability maps and site occurrence for viable propagule disbursement at Limestone Hills and Orchard Training Area. And she's actually mapping the terrain where the vehicles actually operate. So we'll have that and then identify vegetation types so that she can then relate what seed was removed to duration and distance moved by the vehicles to the different vegetation type to develop the risk ratings for those two installations. So for our results, basically Limestone Hills highlighted the potential risk associated with military vehicle transportation of non-native invasive species. And we've also improved our field tracking and greenhouse methodologies and the washing methodologies so that we're getting a better look at how many species are actually being transported. It's more tight. And then this is just the beginning stages of this work, and we're hoping that the methods will be able to relate back to the military to have them understand the importance of a rotational washing within field so that they can reduce the invasive species spread across from installation to installation or across from a training area to a training area. And that's about it. So are there any questions? That's it. That's what Hal does in the field. And then he had visitors. The cows thought the he had quite the attraction with his water bladder. So, Hal.
I just toss in that the same set of data that gave the 65 viable species, there were 1,000 viable seeds that resulted from the washout of those vehicles.
Right.
So it's quite clear, and these were not artificially placed in. These were ones that were just collected from the vehicles after they came in.
So all natural. And all naturally occurring. And also the 1,000 viable is probably much higher considering the length of time in cold storage that the samples were in, subjected to, if you will. Any other questions? Yeah, Tim?
So I think Hal said that the site that he was looking at, the seeds were washed off and they just kind of sat there, underneath the grill or, whatever, wherever they washed them to.
It's a bladder. I should have said that. It's a tarp bladder system.
Okay.
So it doesn't, it's containment system. There's no debris that leaves that containment.
And so at Limestone Hills, they typically use a bladder system?
No, this is a portable vehicle wash rack. It's the exact same one that Hal. And the thought is that we will be able to, for installations that have an invasive species problem, they can go and buy one of these and then implement it themselves for the soldiers to possibly use. Or thought being that we just quantify, have a better idea of what potential risk there is. So it's not standard practice.
Okay. And for that system, then would they actually collect the seeds then and try to put them somewhere where they wouldn't just kind of sit?
Yeah, would they sterilize it? Yeah, I mean, they would have to collect it because they are they couldn't drive into it after a while.
There's
a finite
sump there that the seeds, all the debris is washed from the mat into a sump.
Yeah.
With a filter bag, and that's taken out and bagged up. And for the germination studies, it was bagged up and sent back to the university greenhouse. If it would just be containment, it's bagged and landfilled.
Or sterilized if they have that capability, possibly.
Thank God. Thank you one more time, and thank all the speakers.